Tonight I've entitled the message, When All Else Fails. The Lord provides hope for His people in the midst of hopeless times. If there's ever a time in our lives, I think that many times as we look at what is transpiring all around us, it is easy to lose hope. And my desire this evening is to bring encouragement for this. If you'd follow along with me, it's a little bit lengthier passage, but I want to bring the contrast of Jeremiah's mindset. Remember, Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And Jeremiah, in the first portion of this section of Scripture, is very discouraged. But yet you find where he is able to find his hope. Here in Lamentations chapter 3, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me, encompassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgat prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies. We find a change here. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. But the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Let's go, Lord, and ask for his blessing upon this time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at a passage of Scripture where Jeremiah sees some very hopeless times. And Lord, I know for hearts in this area and in this nation and in this world, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that are quite unsettling. But Father, when all else fails, Lord, we still have a sure foundation. And Lord, you're our hope. And Father, my desire tonight as I preach your holy word, Lord, I pray that it encourage. I pray that it comfort and lift up. Father, we need you at this time. We need you every day, every moment of every day. Lord, we're sure not worthy of you. Lord, I love you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Dad, can I? But I, no. I just want to, no. Here is a child trying to speak to his father, only to have his father quiet him. Maybe it sounds like something that you have had before. A child who's in trouble sometimes can't even get a request voiced before his or her parent before they say no. The child hasn't earned the privilege of asking his or her parents maybe for a favor. And Jeremiah, in this passage of Scripture, in the first portion as we read, feels like his prayers are going nowhere. And that really the fault was not his, but the people he's a part of. I mean, Jeremiah is struggling because of the nation with which he is living. He's abiding. They had sinned against God. Jeremiah found hope in God. And have you ever asked God something unselfishly? And then maybe, you know, in that request, Was God faithful to grant you the request you ask? The promise tonight and the principle tonight is the Lord provides hope for his people in the midst of hopeless times. Now, the book of Lamentation here really is a scenario, a scene of hope against hope. I mean, it is a very dire, bleak situation in the nation of Judah and in Jerusalem in particular. Despair and defeat was everywhere. In the first 18 verses, we get to find the very mindset of Jeremiah and the fact, you know, verse 7, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. God has locked him in. Jeremiah is shut in to this country, into this city, and he has no hope. However, in verses 19 and 21, and you also find in verse 22 and 23, he finds hope in God's mercies. You know, one of the things in our lives when life gets very difficult, when suffering begins to come upon us, how is it that many Christians behave? How is it that I behave? You know, that many times during these times of suffering, I can think that God has abandoned me, that God doesn't care. Or also may think that, you know what, no one else has had to go through the same trials and hardships that I've had to go through. No one knows exactly the depths of my despair. No one knows I am in such a unique situation. No one has ever had this before. We can get that mentality. And we have a vulnerability that really arises from others because of maybe the hurt or other things that are happening, and there's great hurt and pain. I mean, you find verses 8 and 9 here, Lamentations 3, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Jeremiah is saying, God, I'm praying and I need help, but I just hit a brick wall with my prayers and they bounce back. In verse 9, he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone, he hath made my paths crooked. It's as though Jeremiah says, God, you've shut the door and I'm no longer welcome. But then we find a change in verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Jeremiah, you find one sense that, you know, I bet every one of us at one point in time in our lives have encountered really the first portion of this passage of Scripture. I mean, we feel like God's abandoned us. We feel like our prayers don't go anywhere. We feel like God doesn't care. No one else cares about me. God, I mean, it is like I am the most lonely person on the earth. I can be amidst a great crowd of people and still be the most lonesome person. But Jeremiah here in verse 21, he realizes what he needs to do. And though even though he feels God has refused him, he still turns to God anyways. And Jeremiah pleads with God in his condition. I mean, Jeremiah is in a very pitiable condition. I mean, he is beside himself. Literally, his people are destroyed. The city around him is devastated. I mean, friends and loved ones, they have been taken captive to Babylon. Remember, this is what's going on. I mean, the 586 BC, the temple had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, this is a horrendous period of time. I mean, the very fact of Jerusalem being rampaged by the foreigners in the very city, God said, I will put my name upon it. Yet in this very city, God allowed it to be destroyed. Well, Jeremiah is not doubting God's knowledge or memory, but rather, he's asking the Lord in this passage of Scripture, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. God, do you see my affliction? In Jeremiah, in verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrances and is humbled in me. Jeremiah didn't look on the situation as others looked. As they would say, man, we're in a horrible time and all of the baggage that comes with such thoughts. He hadn't participated in Judah's rebellion against God. In fact, Jeremiah had to share in this full judgment. And yet, verse 20, when we're at the lowest of lows, where do I turn? What does Jeremiah do? Verse 21, this I recall to my mind. He recalled God's goodness. He went to God to find his strength for life. And this suffering humiliated both Judah and the prophet Jeremiah. I mean, God is showing the people, listen, I hate your sin. And he has a remembrance of his people and their destruction, verse 22 through 24. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And this passage here, verses 22 through 24, really is the the pinnacle of hope in the book, in the middle of Lamentations. God's very character is unchanging. It is settled. It's firm. It's merciful. It's just. It's compassionate. And God is faithful. God's compassions fail not. Verse 22. They don't grow stale. They don't grow cold. They don't grow old. They don't diminish. God's compassions fail not. And just as every one of our days starts out as a new creation from God, we wake up in the morning, whenever that is, or in the evening or afternoon or whenever we wake up, that's a fresh day for you. And every day is an object lesson for us to recall to mind the Lord's tender mercies. Judah had been unfaithful, broken God's laws, had disobedience in their actions. She was unfaithful. They had idolatry. And yet, even in the midst of this, even in the midst of Jerusalem being demolished, the people deported from their homeland, taken captive to Babylon, God still speaks of God's gracious provision. Here's Jeremiah doing this. He had given the land of Canaan to Israel. Remember, back with Joshua, they crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land of God. God gave all of it. But as we recall, Israel didn't take advantage of all of it. They didn't remove all of the pagans from the land. Now, in the fact here of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's hope was not in what the Lord had given. Jeremiah's hope wasn't in Canaan land. It wasn't in Jerusalem. It wasn't in the temple. It wasn't in the people. Jeremiah's hope was the exact same hope that several other gentlemen placed their hope in. For instance, God was the Levites. Numbers 18:20, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. How about Asaph in Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26? Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee? My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then verse 24, as you see here, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. I want to ask you tonight, as maybe you're going through and as we encounter some very difficult days ahead of us. Here's the priests, the Levites, that had been given the inheritance of the Lord, but the Lord is their satisfaction. Asaph, the same thing. Jeremiah, the same thing. In the first part here, Jeremiah feels afraid. He feels abandoned. He feels despair. And yet he still says, Lord, I need to recall to mind where my hope comes from. In verses 25 through 27, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He uses the word good here three times, to those who are waiting for him, to those who seek him. And you know what? That's what it is, that we wait for God and we seek him. In that waiting period for God, and I believe that many are waiting now, believers are waiting, God, when is this going to be over? Lord, when can I return to normal? Lord, when can I do what I used to do? When? And Lord, when can other things going on in my life just return to normal? And you know what God wants us to do? To wait. And in our impatience, we are impatient. Why? Because we want to be in control. I want God to work on my timing. I want God to rush ahead for me and me alone, to make my life cheerful and bring all the flowers in this glorious, glorious day. I want him to do that for me. But what it is that faith reaches out to grasp what the Lord gives us rather than just floating through life. If there's anything that this period of time and some of the aspects of this period of time has taught me, it has taught me, and even as things have transpired and over the past few weeks reflecting on truths that God has put upon my heart, realizing that God is God and he's still in control. I don't understand it. Faith involves putting our whole lives and energies at God's disposal. And that's why it talks about here, it's good for a man, verse 27, that he bear the yoke in his youth. Not to hope and quietly wait, we ought to work hard. Especially, we become impatient during times of discomfort or pain. Maybe it could be physical pain, it could be emotional pain, it could be spiritual pain, or all of the above, or any combination therein. But irrespective of where our discomfort or pain is coming from and how it's coming, we invariably become impatient and say, God, have you forgotten? Lord, I'm faithful. I mean, even Jeremiah, Lord, I am your prophet. Your people never listened to me. You gave me a failing ministry. You told me no one's going to listen to me, and they haven't. And in fact, they even want to take me to Egypt. But God's plans encompass all of time and eternity. And God works out every detail of the time of our life to results that perfectly suit Him. And at times we may think in our own carnal ways that God is working too slowly. That His timing is just, I mean, it doesn't like He doesn't care. And God says, you know what, just continue to work. Just continue to do what you're doing. Do your job. Work hard. That's what He talks about. Good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. You know, young people particularly, they need to be strengthened and learn in life. Work hard. Prepare for life's challenges. An athlete, if they're going to be in the Olympics, they're going to work really, really hard. I mean, they're going to devote many hours, hundreds of hours to the very sport. And their end goal is to get a little bit of ribbon with a little metal medallion that specifies where they placed in rank, and that would obviously also show them where they placed in rank in the world. For a little piece of cloth and a little medallion. But you know what, for us, Christian, the trials and challenges that we're going through now, in the past, and in the future, God still knows about it. We still to bear that yoke because God is still good. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. When you know what? We have hope. How do we get hope? We don't get hope in thinking we're going to solve the problem. I don't get hope in me doing the actions. How do I get hope? In humility. I submit to God. Why is our speech, you know, at times when you are going through some suffering, guess what happens to our speech many times? We become very carnal. We act out on our emotions. We can let our emotions be in charge. In verse 28, He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because He hath borne it upon Him. We wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, meaning accepting His yoke without complaint. Here's the good man. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence. Guess what? He's just working. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. You see, suffering people, many times what we do is we misunderstand what God is doing in our lives. I know for myself, my own instinct is sometimes when trouble comes is to flee. Or if pain is there, even to fight back. But you know what? The faithful Christian, what do they do? We are to wait quietly, humbly, and submissively before the Lord, waiting for Him to make things right, His own time, His own way. In the ancient world, the sign of extreme repentance and sorrow was to sit in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 29, He putteth His mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. You know what He's doing? Jeremiah uses this custom, speaking of the custom of the day, to represent and display his humble speech. He quietly listens to God. We may not know whether relief is ahead or not. Jeremiah doesn't know. He doesn't know what the future holds, but he remains humble to God's will. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What does God command His followers to do, to turn the cheek to those who mistreat Him? And Jeremiah uses a very similar expression of how God's children ought to respond to suffering. A slap in the face is absolutely humiliating. If someone comes up to you and they slap you in the face, that's incredibly disrespectful. Our natural impulse is to want to strike back. Jeremiah has to swallow his pride. accept the humiliation, and hand the problem over to God. The godly person, they don't need to defend themselves. God's going to discipline that individual. What do? We submit to the suffering, trust God to take care of us, and anticipate with hope that God is still in control. What would you predict for a person who tries to resist God's disciplining hand? When someone tries, when God is working in such as this situation here with Judah and Jerusalem, and they're trying to resist God, what happens? Life gets harder. But in this whole section here, verses 31 through 33, it leaves us really in a positive note. Verse 31, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." Jeremiah leaves his people with the fact of don't just persevere, don't just pull up your bootstraps and try to push forward. No. You know what he does? He gets back to the mercies and compassion of God. You see, God's justice is all fair. And that is the foundation for our comfort during suffering. And you may have gone through great trials of hardship, but understand this. Verse 31, "For the Lord will not cast off forever." You might be thinking, "Lord, I am in a desperate strait. God, I can't go on." In God's justice, the Lord had to punish his sinful people. But that's not the end of the story. God would bring judgment, but in the end, suffering is only temporary. God accomplished an eternal purpose amongst his people. And that purpose of God goes way beyond the pain that we may immediately feel. How would a person feel if their life is supposed to be easy all the time and they have to deal with suffering? Imagine, you know, some of these, maybe a young person or an individual that grows up in a very wealthy family and the parents are very protective and they never let, you know, as much as possible, they try to remove all hardship from that child's life. What's going to happen when that person encounters some hardship? What are they going to do? I mean, they're going to fall apart. They're going to get angry. They're going to get mad. They're going to respond in ways that are absolutely horrific. Their life will become a mess. And God, verse 32, "But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." What does God do? God does not give us arbitrary hurt. God does not give us arbitrary incidents in our life that cause great discomfort or pain in our lives. God is not arbitrary. He doesn't lose his temper. He doesn't lose sight of his ultimate plan. He is the ever compassionate and merciful Lord. You know what? In verse 33, "For he doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men." God's desire is not to cause pain and suffering. He doesn't delight in it. He doesn't gloat in it. He doesn't glory in it. God doesn't want to just bring permanent and eternal suffering. God's desire is not that. God deeply cares for us. It is of the Lord's mercies, verse 22, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I don't know about you, but maybe in some of the worst times of your life, the most extreme trials of your life, guess what? God was still good. God brought along people along your life. The most hopeless times, God provides for us. And as I bring this to a conclusion this evening, if you were to make a decision on a scale of a 1 to 100, what would be your score? 1 or low is that I wait quietly and humbly without complaining during a trial. That's a low score. So the lower, the better. The high, 100, is I continually and constantly rail against circumstances, people, or God. I speak rashly and criticize harshly. If we were to say I wait quietly and humbly without complaint, a 1, or an extreme is I always do this, I always rail against circumstances, I always rail against people, I always rail against God, I always speak rashly, and I criticize harshly. That's 100. Now, this is just for yourself, an introspective look, but on a 1 to 100, where would you be? Where would I be? Maybe it's like this person, they would say this kind of prayer, Lord, as you know, I am suffering. I submit myself to the suffering, trusting you to take care of me. I am full of hope because you are in control. I trust you because of your character. You never change. You are always faithful, loving me unconditionally. You are full of grace and mercy. You show your love and kindness to me every day. Even if it lasts the rest of my life, this suffering is only temporary. As you think about that, and the person to go on, you said, God, that your grace is sufficient for me. As the Apostle Paul would say, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I praise you and thank you for what you will accomplish through my suffering. What if we were to say that, Lord? As you know, I'm suffering. But God, you're still good. I'm just going to trust you. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. Lord, I don't know why others that I love are going through this. But Father, I lean upon you at this time. So I want to ask you the question, when all else fails in your life, what do you do? When the control is taken away and you are literally powerless, how do you respond? In verse 22 of Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And you know, that's what we ought to do when all else fails. I just need to hope in him. God is still good. Jeremiah went through worse than what we even see in our day. Granted, he knew it was coming. We didn't necessarily see this coming. But irrespective of the circumstances, I have to just trust that God's compassions fail not. His compassions, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So this evening, as we come to the time of conclusion, come to the time of invitation, we'll just do a silent one this evening, but as we think upon this, when all else fails in your life, can I just trust humbly that God will take care of it? Can I just lean upon him? We saw the first part of Jeremiah, and we have all felt those feelings. I love Jeremiah, a weeping prophet he's known as. It reminds me, because of his transparency and his emotions. And Jeremiah is a man that I think many people can resemble because of the great, deep emotional trauma that he went through. And yet, he still has the composure through the inspiration of God upon his life to look to God, recall to mind that God is still good. With all heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, I just want to ask you, how are you doing on that 1 to 100 scale? What is God doing? However long it takes between you and the Lord, feel free to just take some time quietly and ask him for your life. And with all heads bowed and eyes closed, when you're done talking with the Lord, would you feel free to look up, and I will conclude in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this evening. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it is easy as we look at things that are going on around us, Father, to be like Jeremiah in those first 18 verses. Lord, to feel as though you have abandoned us. Father, to feel as though we are on an island all to ourselves. Lord, we're like Elijah. There's no one else, Lord. But Father, in our spirits, as we just humbly submit to you, Father, we'll find the very mercies and joy of the Lord restored as we lean upon thee. Father, I love you. I thank you for this evening. I pray that you'd be with each and every person. Help them as they go out, that you'd be honored and glorified. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.